Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. A lot coming up. We're going to go through later on here in the show, coming up at 8:40. We'll talk to Brian Howe of Boulder Daily Camera about what went on with the Colorado Pro Day today, his inside scoop. We got Get a Grip coming up at 9, which I've deemed must-listen radio because, well, unbeknownst to some, I've been doing at least 1 hour so far today of my own content. But we do have to get out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. A college football analyst for PFF. His name is Max Chadwick, and he joins us now. Max, how's it going?
How are you guys doing?
Well, I would say after today, seeing the Browns send 8 people out, I don't know that I have any more of an idea, but I at least know that they're interested in somebody from Colorado. So I feel pretty good. I'm on the upswing ending the week on a Friday.
Yeah, that makes kind of a lot of sense right now. It seems to be like they're zeroing in on who they might be taking at number 2 overall. It's going to be fascinating what they do on draft night.
So a lot of talk this week just on our station and around the city regarding Travis Hunter, because you see the big talking heads talk about, well, it feels like they're going away from quarterback at 2. I'm curious just to know sort of where you stand on it. Whether or not you think it's really possible for him to be a meaningful contributor on both sides of the ball at the NFL level.
I think he can. Yeah, I would take a number 2 overall if you're not taking a quarterback if you're Cleveland. I would not take another non-quarterback in the NFL draft over Travis Hunter. I mean, there's a chance he could become the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL for the simple fact of he could play both ways at a high level, right? So I really do think Travis Hunter is a one-of-one prospect that, again, I would take that high. And after signing Myles Garrett to a long contract, I don't think drafting Abdul Carter is as needed as it was in the past. Actually, I think Travis Hunter would fit 2 needs that are bigger than edge rusher for Cleveland right now. So that's who I personally would take at number 2 overall. I don't think it's what's going to happen as of right now. I think Abdul Carter is the current favorite for that number 2 pick, but I would go with Travis Hunter if I was the Browns.
So just looking at Travis Hunter, if you valued him as just a wide receiver, where would you put him in this class? Sort of, if you ranked your wide receivers, where does he stand?
Yeah, I think he's the number 2 wide receiver in the draft behind Ted Royal McMillan. And I completely understand if you have him number 1. Like, my co-host, Dalton Wasserman, actually has him as the number 1 receiver and the number 1 corner in this draft. I have him as my number 2 receiver and my number 1 corner in the draft. So either way, he's a top 10 talent overall in the draft if he's only playing one way. And the fact that he plays both at an elite level makes him easily, I think, the best player in this draft.
Now, if you're looking, and you said you would like the pick at number 2 to be Travis Hunter, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Browns really quick. Bouncing back from a 3-14 season, telling the city that you are looking to compete, whether or not we know how true that is, but you've made the sell that you're looking to compete in 2025 in the near future. Is it feasible for a team to look to do all of that while developing and navigating how to utilize a 2-way player?
Yeah, I think so. Because like I said before, I think Travis Hunter is a guy that it could fit 2 big needs for Cleveland, right? They need to find something else, receiving core outside of Jerry Jeudy, and their cornerback room could definitely use an influx of talent, too. They have Denzel Ward there, but I think Travis Hunter would be probably the second-best corner immediately on that team. So he'd at least be the second-best receiver and second-best corner on the team, and he could honestly take over Denzel Ward and Jerry Jeudy as the best receiver and best corner on the team. So yeah, he'd be incredibly valuable for a Cleveland Browns team that simply needs to add talent, and you add one of the most talented players of all time at two very valuable positions in Travis Hunter. That, I think, it would be a home run pick for Cleveland.
Now, Max, we've talked pro days before and sort of where you stand on them. Was there anything today from either Hunter or Shedeur Sanders that jumped off the pages to you as something that you wouldn't have known or maybe the average person wouldn't have known before watching today?
No, I don't really think pro days should be a major tool for evaluation. Honestly, it's cool to see those guys out there and doing their thing, but if you're really having major takeaways from a pro day, good or bad, I don't really think you're doing it right. Honestly, they don't really are a big thing for me, at least. So it was cool seeing Travis Hunter run routes out there. It was even funnier seeing him do it without gloves on. But I don't really care about how he or Shedeur Sanders did his pro day today, honestly.
All right, give me your honest opinion. Was Travis Hunter out there to show that Travis Hunter is a wide receiver that can run routes? Or was Travis Hunter out there for Shedeur Sanders to be like, all right, I'll go out there and at least try to make you look good?
Probably a little bit of both, right? I think there's definitely a little bit of, listen, I know I'm going to be a top five pick in the draft. Shador's case, you know, he's probably trying to show teams what he could do right now, considering the Browns might probably not going to take him at number two. Now it sounds like the Giants aren't going to take him at number three. Then you have no idea where he's going to go, right? So Shador's probably out there trying to show some teams, like maybe the Steelers, like, hey, come trade up to get me in this year's draft. Whereas Hunter is more solidified. Like, Hunter, I think, is going to be at least a top three pick in the draft. I'd be pretty surprised if he was available at number four overall in the draft. So I think Hunter's more solidified, probably was doing his buddy a favor in Shedeur Sanders out there, because I don't think he was planning on working out going into today. But he obviously did run routes out there, so that's probably more of why he was out there today.
Max Chadwick, college football analyst for PFF, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I guess then I'll throw it out to you. You kind of put something together, but I want to see if you have anybody. If Shedeur did sort of get past the Giants at three, what other teams are you looking at as potential quarterback needy teams in this draft that would be looking to take him in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's possible that Las Vegas takes him at number six, although I don't think it's likely after they signed Geno Smith to that deal. You know, if they wanted to have Shedeur sit for a couple years, that could be an option for them. I know he's got a relationship with Tom Brady already, so that would make some sense. New Orleans, I could see do it, but I think New Orleans is still so far away. And I say it sounds like more they're going to be looking for 2026 rather than 2025 to grab their franchise quarterback. So I don't know if they would do it. Maybe the Jets to sit behind Fields for a couple years, but I doubt they would do it. And then they start going down the list, man. I think maybe the Steelers. The Steelers would definitely be interested in Shedeur Sanders, so maybe he falls all the way to 21 overall. Maybe they have to trade up to get him. The Rams maybe to find a replacement for Matthew Stafford, who seems to be getting closer and closer to retirement. Those are some of the teams right there, but they're more picking in the 20s than anything right now. So that's why I'm saying I really have no idea where Shedeur Sanders might land at draft night.
Yeah, give me a grade on this idea. That essentially, the Browns go into this, and they draft, I mean, take your pick at two. We'll say Travis Hunter for the sake you threw it out there earlier. And then you basically use 33 and then a day two or day three pick, maybe something else if you have to move back up and get Shedeur Sanders in the first round.
I don't hate it. I really don't. I think Shedeur Sanders is – I actually have him QB1 in the draft, although it's by hair. I really – if you have Cam Moore QB1, I completely understand. So if you can get QB1 late in the first round, honestly, that'd be – good business for the Cleveland Browns, and getting both Colorado guys and Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, not a bad idea. I think Travis Hunter is the best player in the draft. Like I said, I think Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback in the draft. So those would fit two huge needs for Cleveland. He's going to get talent in that roster that in the form of Travis Hunter, and then obviously grab their quarterback in the form of Shedeur Sanders. So I definitely do not hate that at all. And I know there's some people thinking, oh, well, maybe they'll wait for Jackson Dart in the second round. There is a massive, massive gap between Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart, in my opinion. I would be willing to trade one of my day two picks, maybe another one, to make sure I go up against Shedeur Sanders.
How much is the arm strength and the deep ball accuracy a concern for you with Shedeur? I would say he tried to address that partially today. I don't know that he really showed anything, again, that you couldn't have seen on the tape. But is that a real concern, or is that something that you think a lot of smoke is blown into just from the idea that, yeah, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but it might not stop him at an NFL level?
Yeah, deep ball accuracy has never been a problem for him, honestly. You know, he's actually been one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the nation since he's been playing college football. So I don't really have a question about that. Yeah, the arm strength isn't the best, but it's not like it's horrendous either. I would say it's more of like C+, maybe B arm strength than anything else. It's definitely good enough to start at the NFL level. So I don't think it's that big of an issue, and he makes up for it. Sometimes, you know, guys with really strong arms makes up for, you know, the fact that they might be late to some plays. Shedeur Sanders, like I said before, is probably the most mentally gifted quarterback in this draft. He reads defenses at a high level. He's always on time. He anticipates things really well. He's extremely accurate. That makes up for a lot of arm strength concerns, honestly. So, I don't think the arm strength is, at least for me, not as big of an issue as it is for some other people.
Now, if you had to compare him to somebody, either a previous prospect, a current NFL quarterback, arm strength-wise, do you have a name in mind of someone who he reminds you of in, you know, just where the arm strength stands?
Yeah, I think maybe like a guy like Brock Purdy, that would be a guy I'd look at. I think it might be somewhere along the lines of Tua Tagovailoa as well, maybe a little stronger than that. That's probably what you're talking about here with Shedeur Sanders. And, you know, best case scenario, not saying this is what he's going to turn into, but best case scenario, he's in the mold of a Joe Burrow, right? The guy who's just extremely accurate, extremely smart, going to be a defensive mind. That's what you're looking for with Shedeur Sanders as well. So those are kind of the vein of quarterbacks that I think his arm strength is relative to. And you're hoping, like I said, he could turn into that Joe Burrow type of quarterback.
Again, Max Chadwick of PFF with us here on the hotline. I guess I'll throw it out there. People have been saying that there's a lot of climb for Jackson Dart. You could see him potentially going into the top 10. Take a personal ranking out of it in the way you feel. Is there any scenario in this draft where Jackson Dart goes off the board before Shedeur Sanders does?
Possibly. I would be surprised, but there could be some teams that have different orders for their quarterback rankings. It's definitely possible, but like I said before, I think Shedeur for most teams is pretty clearly QB2, and I think most teams probably agree with me that there is a big gap between the top two and everyone else in this draft. So it's certainly possible, right? It only takes one team to have Jackson Dart above Shedeur Sanders for that to happen. But, I would be a little surprised if that actually happened on draft night.
You put any stock into Deion saying today that he expects one of his two players to be going to Cleveland at two? Or is that just sort of Deion being confident for his guys?
Yeah, I think that's probably Deion being confident for his guys. Like I said before, I actually think Abdul Carter might be the favorite to go number two overall as of right now. I still think they're deciding between Carter and Travis Hunter. But if I had to place a bet today, I probably would bet on Abdul Carter, even though I disagree with you. I mean, Abdul Carter's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he'd be as valuable to the Browns as, say, Travis Hunter would be, right? So I think it's probably Deion just saying that right now. I mean, I do think the Browns are interested in both of them, Travis more than Shedeur at this point. But, it's probably more Deion hyping his guys up to go as high as possible rather than anything else. Because I think everyone, including Deion, kind of agree that Cam Ward is pretty much locked in to going number one right now.
All right, Max, I'll get you out of here on this. The Browns moved on this offseason from safety Juan Thornhill, and they've yet to really address the need of another starting safety. Right now it would be Ronnie Hickman, undrafted free agent out of Ohio State, so I would imagine they're looking to do something about that. If I throw it out to you right now, I'll ask for three names of safeties that you like, a guy who could be there at 33, and then potentially two guys that could be available in the third round or later that you also really like.
Yeah, so at 33 overall, maybe Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuel fall to 33. It sounds like both those guys are gonna be first round picks. So that's probably an option there. I mean, Xavier Watts, if you want to go with 33, he will be available. I'd be pretty surprised if he's a first-round pick. So Xavier Watts, another option there. Honestly, what I would do on the Browns is, in the third round, I would probably get Kevin Winston Jr., the safety from Penn State. I think he's the second-best safety in the draft. And honestly, if he didn't get hurt this past year, he could have been the top safety in the draft. He is a phenomenal run defender, really good tackler, and he's really good in coverage. He's a phenomenal athlete as well. He had a partially torn ACL this past year, limited him to only two games, but like I said, his tape as a true sophomore was absolutely fantastic, and he's actually recovered from that torn ACL now. He actually ran like a 4.4 at his pro day just like 6 months after tearing his ACL. So freak athlete, great, great tape as a sophomore 2 years ago. He should be available late third round because of that knee injury, but I think just talent-wise and how good he was in 2023, I would put him in the same category as Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuori, and I think he could be one of the biggest steals of the draft in the third round.
Well, now you have me excited, Max. Now I'm excited to go and watch the tape on a safety out of Penn State, and that I thank you for. As always, though, I thank you for setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you, and I look forward to doing it next Friday as well. Only a couple more here before the draft.
Yep, appreciate you guys.
Yep, Max Chadwick of PFF, college football analyst, joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good stuff out of Max. Feels like more and more that we talk about it, the quarterback is farther and farther away. But also, Max addressing there, Shador's arm strength. Doesn't feel to him that it's a real issue. Is it one to you? 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X at Vulnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. And we'll react again and get to that coming back. It's Jake Vulnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.